former President Jimmy Carter, had a reputation for honesty that was unique among politicians. The fact that he was able to maintain this reputation was a topic of curiosity for reporters. Once when his mother, Miss Lillian, was being interviewed by a particularly aggressive female reporter on network television, she was asked about Carter's honesty. "Is it true," asked the reporter, "that your son doesn't lie? Can you tell me he has never told a lie?" And Miss Lillian replied, "Well, I reckon he might have told a little white lie now and then." The reporter jumped at that opening. "I thought you said he didn't lie. Are you telling me that white lies aren't as bad? Just what do you mean by a white lie?" "Well," drawled Miss Lillian, "do you remember when you came in this morning and I told you how nice you looked and how glad I was to see you?" I think that's what's called stretching the truth. But as American poet Bill Copeland said, when you stretch the truth, watch out for the snapback. Amen. During the first public statement made by White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, he falsely claimed that President Trump had the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period. Those are his words. Pictures posted by the National Park Service comparing the inauguration crowd of President Obama to President Trump told a different story. When Chuck Todd, Meet the Press news anchor, asked Kellyanne Conway, counselor to the president, why Spicer was communicating falsehoods, she said that Spicer had given alternative facts. To which Todd replied, four of the five facts he uttered were just not true. Alternative facts are not facts. They're falsehoods. Welcome to the era of fake news and alternative facts, which are really just dressed up words for lies. Lying has become so characteristic of the current administration that almost every news outlet has written an article about it in the past few days. Even Christian websites like Christianity Today and Sojourners are writing about the climate of falsehood perpetrated by the White House these days. David Leonhardt, an op-ed writer for the New York Times, recently wrote, "The current president of the United States lies. He lies in ways that no American politician has before. He has lied about, among other things, Obama's birthplace, John Kennedy's assassination, September 11th, the Iraq War, ISIS, NATO, military veterans, Mexican immigrants, anti-Semitic attacks, the unemployment rate, the murder rate, the Electoral College, voter fraud, and his groping of women. I would add the lie he tweeted that blacks killed 81% of white homicide victims, and the latest that President Obama wiretapped Trump Tower. If he was Pinocchio, his nose would be so long that you would see him coming from a mile." Yet many evangelical church leaders who instructed their parishioners that voting for the current president was their only option now remain silent. But truth is an essential part of Christian morality. Commandment 9 of the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." That's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. And Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 says, there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that hurry to run to evil. A lying witness who testifies falsely. And one who sows discord in a family. Reverend Jim Wallace, president of Sojourners, a Christian organization focused on the biblical call to social justice, asks these questions in his recent article, House of Lies. He said, what will happen to a nation's freedom when its people don't know the truth anymore? What happens when the political leader of a nation doesn't seem to know the truth and lies about it day after day? He goes on to say the perpetual and seemingly pathological lying of the President of the United States is now more than a political issue, and certainly more than a partisan one. It is both a moral and religious crisis now for our nation, and it is time for leaders in the faith community to stand up and say so. Someone else said, what will we tell our children about telling the truth when the leader of our nation doesn't tell the truth? There's something known as the illusory truth effect. Illusory meaning deceptive or false. It is a glitch in the human mind that equates repetition with truth. In other words, if you repeat a lie often enough, people will begin to believe it.
Right.
Now, isn't that happening?
It sure will.
Yes.
It sure will.
We scratch our heads, amen? And we wonder, why do people keep believing this stuff? Because a lie that is repeated over and over again, if you don't reject that lie, you will begin to believe. And this becomes very problematic for the church when its members can no longer discern truth from lies or accommodate lying for what they think is some higher moral outcome, namely to do away with abortion and to protect our religious freedom to discriminate against gay people. Isn't that what it's about? For the religious right? But what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and we all need the saving grace of God that has been made available to us through Jesus Christ. God is calling us to live for truth in a world of alternative facts and not judge someone else's sin because it is different than what we've struggled with. Amen? Y'all quiet, but this is the truth. People who say they know Christ are checking their brains at the door and putting their hope in false messiahs, rather than following the Lord, whose truth alone makes us free. Psalm 146, verses 3 through 6 says, don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, and he keeps his promises. Amen? He keeps his promises forever. Man will fail you. But God is the only one who speaks and has the ability to do what he says he will do. Amen.
Amen.
So through this Lenten season, we've been talking about being a follower of Christ. And as I said last week, a follower is not a fan. It's not somebody who just thinks Jesus is cool. A follower or a disciple of Jesus is one who is totally committed to living out what he or she is learning about Jesus and his word, and allowing it and not the culture or some political viewpoint to shape and mold their lives. In John chapter 8, Jesus challenged those who recently said they believed in him by saying, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, apparently, this rubbed these so-called Jewish followers the wrong way, because they took offense to Jesus' word and began to argue with him about their standing, their special standing in the kingdom. Their words and their actions proved that their profession of faith was only a superficial one. They not only lacked understanding about their spiritual condition, but they thought they'd give Jesus a history lesson about their unique ancestry as descendants of Abraham. They said, "What do you mean the truth will make us free? We are Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone." Now, I have many Bible readers in there, and you all know that's not true.
That's right.
Amen. So apparently, telling alternative facts isn't anything new, because Abraham's descendants had indeed been enslaved by the Egyptians, the Assyrians, and the Babylonians. And at that present time, when Jesus was speaking with them, they were under Roman rule and were looking for a Messiah, the Messiah, to come and free them. But Jesus points out that if they were truly children of Abraham, they would have done as Abraham did. Abraham responded to God in faith. And since Jesus came from God, they should receive the message God sent him to deliver. Now, when Jesus spoke of knowing the truth, he was speaking of knowing God's revelation to humanity, which was embodied in Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." And verse 14 goes on to say, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So to know the truth is to know Jesus Christ. The truth is not political freedom or academic knowledge. Knowing the truth means accepting Jesus, obeying Jesus, and regarding Jesus above all earthly opinions. Obeying Christ's truth not only offers us spiritual freedom from sin and death, but it gives us the ability to do God's will and to fulfill God's ultimate purpose for our lives. When we belong to Christ, God gives us his life, the Holy Spirit, to live within us and guide us throughout our whole lives. In fact, later in John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. He says he will guide you into all truth. In today's world, truth is relative, depending on what suits a person's needs, prejudice, and desires at a certain time. The Apostle Paul warned his mentee, Timothy, of this in his second letter to him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 4 says, "Preach the word. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching." Why? For the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound or wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Are we there?
Yes, yes.
They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Mm-hmm. He says to Timothy, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Don't be afraid of speaking the truth. If folk don't like it, tough. Amen? Amen. Jesus suffered for us. Why are we afraid to speak the truth for fear somebody won't like us? They don't have a heaven or hell to put us in. God is the judge, and we must answer to him. So it behooves us not to fear man, but to fear God. Amen? He says, work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. That's a word for us today. Because we are in that time. People don't want to hear the truth. People make up the truth. They believe what part of the word of God they want to because it's easy for them. But the other parts that make us a little bit uncomfortable, we ignore or we try to explain away. Amen? We will endorse people who are totally ungodly and then put on Facebook, "Oh, God has entered the White House." God forbid.
That's right.
Amen. Someone sent me a message the other day, and this man was holding up these papers, and he said, "This is for those who voted for Donald Trump." This is what he said. And they had all these different things that Donald Trump said, and every time they flip it over and they say, "Now this is what Jesus said." And then they said, "Now who are you following?" Amen?
Amen.
And you know, to me it don't matter who is in the White House. I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care who it is. Jesus is still Lord.
That's right.
Amen? And if a person is wrong, they're wrong. You don't say a person is right when they're wrong.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
And yes, the scripture says to expect those in authority, respect those in authority. I respect him, but if he's wrong, he's wrong.
That's right.
And you know what? This is a democracy. Amen?
That's right. That's right.
He ain't king.
That's right. You don't have to.
He's an elected official.
Thank you.
I don't have to agree with him.
Preach.
And we don't have to agree with what's wrong. We need to stand for truth in a world where everybody is accepting alternative facts. Amen?
That's right.
We need to speak the truth. The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. But it does not tell us to accept lies and to follow after false messiahs who offer us a way out when Jesus is the only way. That's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
God is calling us to live for truth with a capital T. In this world where people are checking their brains at the door. Amen? But Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." He said, "My followers know my voice, and another they will not follow." Who are you following today? Amen?
Yeah.
Do you know the voice of the Lord? Don't follow somebody else's voice. Because he said, if you are my disciples, if you are those who are totally committed to living out what you are learning about Jesus and his word, then you will continue in his word. You won't get off the path and go on somewhere and follow somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to continue in Christ. You're going to continue in his word. And Jesus told them, if you don't continue in his word, you are living like your father, the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. We shall know the tree by the fruit it bears. Amen?
Amen.
So when we profess one thing with our mouth, but we live another by our actions, we call into question the validity of our profession of faith. Amen? That's the word of God. Amen? But to those who hear his words and obey him, Jesus makes this promise. He says, you will never see death. Now, he wasn't talking about this physical earthly death. He's talking about spiritual death, separation from God forever. Those who follow Christ will be raised eternally to live with him. And until then, we must live his truth and walk in his ways. And when the world proposes an alternative to what Jesus has taught us through his life and through the scriptures, we must choose Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That's our only option. Choose Christ. He's a good God. Amen. He gave his life for us. Amen. He gives us his spirit. He has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Amen. He says, call unto me. Come to me. And I will answer you. I'll show you what you need to know. Amen. We need to follow him. We need to, as time gets crazier and crazier, we just need to draw closer to God. Amen. He is our hope. He is our refuge. He is our healer. He is our protector. He is our provider. He's our life. Let's choose Christ. That's what we're talking about this month. Being a follower of Christ. It's more than just words. It's our actions. It's our life. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you. We thank you for your word. Because God, it's true. And we just need to submit to it. You're not telling us to check our brains at the door. And you're also not telling us to turn a blind eye to what is going on in the world. You call us to be salt and light and not to hide our light, God, under a bushel. So, Father, help us to speak your truth, to love people, to live as Jesus lived, God, everywhere, God, you send us. May we bring you glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.